Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I am Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now just for you. To answer your call or address your question, to offer direction for the many times difficult, frustrating issues of real life, we invite your calls right now to 844-32-BASIC. 844-32-BASIC. The full number, 844-322-2742. Either way, it's Basic Gospel. Here's Bob Christopher.
Well, part of this hear, believe, and live is the living out of this Christ life. Mm-hmm. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ is alive, and through faith in him, we are made alive in him, and God sends his Spirit to take up residence in us. And now we're to be led by the Spirit of God. And how are we led by the Spirit of God? By faith. We walk by faith. We depend upon God's Spirit to do in and through us what we couldn't do on our own through our human effort. So that's the grace of God. That's God doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. And so talk about this new life that we have in Christ, this grace of God that we have in Christ. A lot of folks raise questions about holy living. Well, as if grace and holiness were mutually exclusive. Yeah. And you have to stop and think. It says, well, what do you think the grace of God is going to lead you to do? What do you think the Spirit of God is going to lead you to do? Well, he's going to lead you to a holy life. You can count on that. You can bet on it. Jesus Christ, through his Spirit, isn't going to lead you to sin. Jesus Christ, through his Spirit, isn't going to lead you on any other path than the path of righteousness. Jesus Christ isn't going to do anything in and through you that's not holy. Why? Because he's holy. And because he's holy, I can bet the farm on the fact that what he produces in and through me is going to be holy as well. We just have to count on that. I love Peter's first letter, actually his both letters. He talks a lot about holiness. He talks a lot about saying no to the old and yes to the new, putting behind you all of that old rotten stuff that you used to do.
Yeah.
And he even says that we need to be holy in all that we do. And he gives the reason, because it is written, be holy because I am holy. Mm-hmm. So holiness was a big thing to Peter, and it was a big thing to all the apostles. The question is, how does that holiness come out of us? How do we live a holy life? And we can't do it through human effort. I mean, we see that with the nation of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
God set up this Mosaic covenant. It was the Ten Commandments were the featured piece of that Mosaic covenant. And they, all through Leviticus and all through the law, God kept saying, here are these laws, and I want you to go and be holy. Well, they missed the mark. They tried, but they couldn't live that out. Why? Because they were trying through human effort. And when we try through human effort, holiness doesn't come out of us. Sin does. That's what happened in my life. The more I tried to be God's guy, the more I tried to purify myself from the sins of this world, to set myself apart from the temptations of this world, the philosophies of this world, the more entrenched I became in those very things. And I felt trapped, and there was no way out. Until I discovered the grace of God, until I discovered the very life of Christ. And when I started to learn how to walk by faith in him, I started to see holy living coming out of me. That's just the way it works. Why? Because Jesus Christ is holy. And when I'm trusting him to work in me, what's going to come out is going to be holy as well.
Yeah.
So it's not a matter of should we live holy lives. The scripture is really clear.
Yes.
We don't have to argue that point. We don't have to discuss that point. Holiness is a part of this gospel message. The source of holiness is Jesus. The way it flows through us is by faith in him. That's the story. And that's why Peter says at the very end of his book, end of his first letter, he says, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. So what was contained within the pages of this letter that Peter wrote to the churches back in that day was the grace of God from start to finish. He says, I've written about that. And now he gives this encouragement, stand fast in it. What is he saying to us? The only way to carry out this holy life, to express holiness in this dark, bleak world, is by standing firm in the grace of God. There is no other way. And when we step into that plan, by grace, through faith, we're going to start seeing a holy life flow out of us. Yeah. That's good news.
That's good news. This is Basic Gospel, everybody. Plenty of open lines. That number, 844-32-BASIC. The lines are wide open right now. We want you to pose your question on this edition. Again, 844-32-BASIC. And Bob, I don't know if it needs any more elaboration, but I'm going to pose this question to you. This comes from Jay in Grosse Pointe Farms, Michigan. And he says, I appreciate your ministry. It certainly has improved my walk with the Lord because Basic Gospel always gets to the point. It's all about Jesus. He says, but I need your help. I'm currently reading Philippians chapter 2 and would like your viewpoint, your understanding on the following. Verse 5, have this attitude in yourselves, which also is in Christ Jesus. So his questions, what attitude am I to have as a child of God? As I live out this attitude, what would it look like? How is it accomplished, achieved, performed, executed? And then in verse 12, and I'll give you the hard copy of this just a moment so you can follow it, Bob. He says in verse 12, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. How do I work out my salvation with fear and trembling? Please be specific as what I need to do.
Well, that's an excellent question.
Yes.
It really feeds into this topic of holiness, of holy living. What does that look like? How is it accomplished? It starts in the heart. This new covenant, this new life that we have is an inside-out life. That's different from the Mosaic Covenant. It was an outside-in. So the commandments were written on tablets of stone. They could read those externally, and they were to try to internalize those, but they never could. Why? Because they had hearts that were not truly receptive to that. And something had to happen to the heart. I love what Moses wrote in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. There's going to be a time when the heart is going to be circumcised so that you, as people, can love the Lord your God and that you can love others. Well, that was fulfilled in Christ. Paul talks about that in Colossians where he says, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive. And then he goes on to say that he has circumcised your heart. Yeah. Well, what's the purpose of that? So that holiness can flow through us, so that people can see that as children of God, marked out by the Holy Spirit, we truly are set apart from the world system. But that's Christ's job in us. He's the source of holiness. So it begins internally, and it begins with a change of attitude. It's part of this renewing of the mind. So the attitude that Christ expressed and displayed was this attitude of humility. And that's what we see Paul talking about in Philippians 2. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So the attitude is humility. God gives grace to the humble, but resists the proud. So if we're going to step into the dynamic of God's grace and experience the fullness of Christ's life, humility is the attitude that opens up that to us. So what is the attitude of Christ? It was an attitude of humility. So when he lived on planet Earth, when he walked in Israel and around the Sea of Galilee and down in Jerusalem, he did so every moment, living in dependence upon his Father. And that's how we're to live. Just as he walked in dependence upon his Father, we're to walk in dependence upon him. Well, humility is the attitude that leads us there. Adam and Eve, they walked in dependence upon God in the garden. And then Satan came along and said, you can be independent. And they decided to choose independence. Well, what they really chose was bondage to sin and death.
Yes.
That was the end result of that decision. But they thought it was a decision of independence. And pride is a part of that. We can be like God. And a prideful heart isn't going to receive grace. So we need humility. So God has called us to a life of humility. Well, in that life of humility, we can become obedient. In other words, we can put into action what God is leading us to do. I use this example all the time, but Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians that we are not to be unequally yoked. Now, that has a pretty broad application. We think of it more in terms of marriage. But here's what God says. Don't be unequally yoked. A lot of times we think better than God, but, oh, God, you just don't know how I feel. I love this person, and they love me. And so they move forward because of their feelings. And in 6 months, they're divorced, or a year, they're divorced. I've seen that happen time and time again. Why? They weren't compatible spiritually. It was a person who was alive in Christ marrying somebody that was dead spiritually. And there was no real fellowship, no basis to build a solid relationship upon. So we become obedient to those things in humility. We say, God, you know what's best for us. You love us. You care for us. So if you're telling us not to be unequally yoked, it's for our benefit, for my benefit. So I'm going to trust you in that. And I'm going to work that out in my everyday life. And that's what he's saying here in Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That fear and trembling is just another way to say humility. It's to be humble and to recognize that something powerful is working inside of you. And then he goes on to say, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. So God doesn't put out there the list of things that we're supposed to do and then tell us to go do them. That was kind of the old covenant. In this new covenant, he comes to live inside of us, and he starts this process of transforming our attitudes, our minds, and that eventually spells itself out in action. It's that inside-out process. And so God is the source of it. So God is the source of holiness, where it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Can we trust God to do that? Absolutely. What's going to be the result? Holy action. Not through human effort, but because we're walking by faith, we're working out what God is working in. That's the plan of God. And why we fight against that, why we try to add to that, I don't know. But everybody who does, and I did, I found out whenever I tried to add to the simple plan of God, and bring my human effort into the mix, I found out that I could fail time and time again. But when I stepped into this plan, for it is God who works in you, that's when holiness started to happen in my life. And it can happen in yours as well.
Absolutely.
Well, a wonderful question from Jay. We appreciate the catalyst for some good discussion on this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Plenty of open lines right now. That number, 844-32-BASIC. We await your calls, and we would love to address your question. If you have some frustrating issue in life that you just like to let off a little steam, this is a good opportunity right now. Give us a call, 844-32-BASIC. We'll be glad to hear from you. A question from Angela. She says, so many churches and so many beliefs. Here's the question from Angela, who listens on WMCA in Brooklyn, New York. She says, with so many different Christian churches and their various differences regarding how they interpret Scripture, can I be sure or assured that as long as I have repented of my past sins, faithfully accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, have been fully immersion baptized, and try every day to become more like Jesus, that my salvation and entrance into God's kingdom is secure, regardless of what church I belong to? She says, I'm worried that certain different beliefs and practices might nullify or disqualify an individual's salvation. I've been a member of Church of God Seventh Day for about 3 years. They are a serious, Christ-centered, Bible-studying church, and I'm very happily associating with them. The Holy Spirit is working within me, evidenced by my better, easier understanding of Scripture and much increased desire to study the Bible. I agree with most of their tenets except tithing and the dietary restrictions. Guys, what can we do or say to help Angela realize and understand that it's not what she does, but what Jesus has already done?
Well, I think that's the key point, isn't it,
yeah.
Richard?
There's a key sentence in here. Can I be assured that as long as I have repented of my past sins, faithfully accepted Jesus Christ, have been full immersion baptized, and try every day to become more like Jesus? No, you can't be assured if that's what you think salvation is.
Right, because your assurance rests on your shoulders.
Yeah, it rests on what I've accomplished.
And Jesus did the work. He did the work that really satisfied God the Father on our behalf. So he offered himself. He presented his blood to God the Father. God the Father said, I'm satisfied. We see that word propitiation, mm-hmm. not a word we use in everyday language. I don't know that I've ever used it in everyday language, but it's an important word because it means that God is satisfied with the work of Jesus on our behalf.
Yes.
So my salvation rests on what Christ did, what he accomplished. If I try to bring any of my works into that equation, into that formula, I'm not so sure if God is going to accept my work.
Yes.
And that's always the mystery. I knew for me, I wanted forgiveness probably more than anything. Guilt and fear and all of those things just, they became my constant companions. Woke up in the morning, there they were. Went to bed at night, there they were. It's like, how can I get rid of fear and guilt and all of this stuff? And so I came up with a formula, and it was taught to me. And, you know, if you just promise and if you just ask and if you just do all of these things, then you can get forgiveness. And I would do all those things, but I was never sure if God was satisfied with how I did it. Was I sincere enough? I mean, you could check off and say, I've done all this, and then you have to look and say, well, was my heart right? Did I really, did I really genuinely mean that I was going to do better?
Doubt had to be your constant companion.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you could never be assured if you're putting the responsibility on your shoulders and on your work. So you have to come to a point and say, I'm going to rest in what Christ did. When we go and stand before him, there's not going to be a single person that says, look how good I did standing there next to Jesus. There might be some folks that do that, and it's just not even worth arguing. It's not worth arguing at all. The only way that we're going to be in the presence of God is because Christ Jesus did what he did through his death, burial, and resurrection.
Yes, indeed. Well, we appreciate hearing from Angela and all of those of you who write to post your question by email. We hope that you'll continue to do that because we love hearing from you. Again, open lines, 844-32-BASIC. This is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis, and we appreciate you joining us today.
Well, yes, indeed. Let's go to Jersey City and talk with Roberto. Hi, Roberto.
Hello.
Welcome.
Yes, my question is really just two. First, it seems like in my course of life, I find religion late in life. And when I meet people and I say, hey, hello, God bless me, save everyone, even if they're enemies or if I like them or anything, it's just a force of habit. But it seems like everyone makes me a butt of the joke. There he comes. I don't know. It's like it hurts me that I feel. Why I feel like that? And the second one is, since I found religion late in my life, my children, my four children, they're not really close to God. And my fear deep inside is that, let's say God is merciful to me and lets me go to heaven. And I'm worried that my children won't be there when I go, when I die. It just puts me up inside.
Well, Roberto, I understand that. I understand that pain when you've come to know Jesus. And Roberto, I'm assuming when you say I found religion late in life that you've come to faith in Jesus Christ. You've recognized that he died to take away your sins and that he was raised from the dead so that you could have new life, not only, after you die, but right here and now. Is that the case?
Yes. But it's that I'm really hurts me deep inside that my children, I try to bring them to church. I try to teach them the right way. And since I found it late in life, they're not religious. Like, they're not that I'm religious, but like, man, they don't even want to give my faith a shot. They don't even want to give faith a shot, to change their ways. They don't even want to try.
Well, Roberto, it's all about Jesus. And, talk to them about Jesus. Talk to them about what you've found to be true in Jesus, because he's the good news. Religion is not the good news. Jesus is the good news. And keep praying for them. Keep praying for
them. I'm very fearful that something may happen. Let's say, heaven forbid, one of my children has an accident, passes on. My fear is that they won't make it to heaven, and that really breaks me to tears, man, really.
Well, I understand that, Roberto, and know this, that God loves your children more than you do.
Yes.
And he sent Jesus for them just like he sent Jesus for you. And the encouragement to your children is, here's a way to find new life. All of us are empty inside. We experience that. We know it. But in Jesus, that emptiness is filled. Why? Because salvation is going from death to life. It's receiving him. That is the gospel message. Roberto, what I want to do, we're almost out of time. We have some fabulous resources that I think you could put into the hands of your children and just ask them to listen and then tell you what they think of it. And that might open some discussions and could be the way that God is going to open the door for them to see his love, his grace, his mercy, his life in the face of Jesus Christ. So, Roberto, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you some information, okay? You hang on.
Well, we are just about out of time, friends, but I want to remind you of a wonderful, wonderful conference we coming up. It's coming up. It's called Hear, Believe, and Live. It's the first stop on our tour by the same name. And it's going to be at Valley Church in Vacaville, California, coming up on March 7th. We hope that those of you in California are within driving distance or within striking distance, as I like to say, can come and be a part of it. It's going to be a wonderful time. Bob and Richard and I will be there, the radio team, and we want to meet you. Again, that's coming up March 7th. All the information is available online at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or you can speak with Billy, our operator, at 844-41-22742. That's 844-41-BASIC. And again, Hear, Believe, and Live. It's the tour coming up March 7th, Valley Church, Vacaville, California, and all the information online, again, at Basic Gospel. Friends, I think if you listen to this broadcast today and every day and you hear the truth that is coming forth from this broadcast, it can't help but impact your life. It can make a difference, a tremendous difference in your life. And if it's done so, why, of course, someone else gave so that you could hear. So we encourage you to be a part of the ongoing support of this ministry and this broadcast so that others also can hear. You'll find a support link at basicgospel.net, or again, you can speak with Billy, our operator, at 844-41-BASIC, 844-41-BASIC. Either way, a good way to support his ministry, and the message of God's unconditional love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's our broadcast today. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.